I'm John Mitchell, if you don't know me. I haven't been here for a while, but I grew up here. In fact, I walked in this place this morning, and I cannot tell you all the memories that came flooding to me. I'm having a little microphone problem, but we'll get it fixed. All the memories that came flooding back to me. I can remember just the most incredible things about this. I remember where I was sitting when my eighth grade girlfriend broke my heart. It was right back in there somewhere. I was sitting listening to a Scotty Richmond sermon, and she passed me a note, and it broke me. I was sitting right back there. I remember that I was in that windowsill right there where that stained glass window is. I got put in timeout for running in the church, and I sat right there in that windowsill. I haven't matured much since then. The things that have happened in this place are remarkable for me. I stood somewhere, the stage has changed a lot, but I stood somewhere in this area where my dad, my uncle, my grandfathers, both of them, Frazier and the elders at that time, put their hands on me and said, God, we want to give you this man. We want this guy to come out from the body here at Ellettsville and lead people to Jesus Christ. And that skinny little boy who's senior in high school still hadn't had my voice change. I remember I prayed and I went, Dear God! I remember the faithfulness in this place. I preached one of my first sermons here. I planned it. It was 24 minutes when I rehearsed it and 6 when I delivered it. Many of you were there. Yes. Many of you were there when you saw I was preaching today. You went, oh no. At least it'll be short. Yeah. Well, I've grown up. My sermons are longer now. But it reminded me, when I pulled in this place today, it reminded me of Jacob. This place reminded me of Jacob's story. And if you remember the story, this is what happened. This happened all throughout the Old Testament and a lot of stories in the Old Testament where God would do something amazing. He would use this experience in people's lives and they would stop whatever they're doing and they would create a little place, a little thing to remember. And with Jacob, he had spent this night out under the stars and he actually laid on a stone as a He was much tougher than we are now. Even the cowboys like curled up something. Put his head on a stone and slept all night. He had this incredible experience with God. Unbelievable experience that changed his life. And when he woke up in the morning, I'll read it to you. I went ahead and put it up in my slides this morning so you could kind of see. Oh, yeah, that's John Mitchell weird. You're going to see that. Let's see here. It's going. It's not working. All right, guys. There it is. Okay, so I thought about this morning. I pulled in this driveway, and I saw this building. And lots of things have changed here, I mean, visually. But I had the same feeling that Jacob must have had. Look what he did. He got up in the morning after this incredible experience with God. Jacob was up first thing in the morning. He took the stone he had used for a pillow, and he stood it up as a memorial pillow and poured oil all over it. He christened the place Bethel, which means God's house. Isn't that cool? The name of the town had been Luz until then, and he changed it. If you take a nap, you sleep one night at a stone, you can change the name of places too. Jacob vowed a vow. Check this out. If God stands by me and protects me on this journey on which I'm setting out, keeps me in food and clothing, and brings me back in one piece to my father's house, this God will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a memorial pillar will mark this place as a place where God lives. And everything you return it. I felt like Jacob today. I pulled into this place. And those of you who were here when I grew up, you need to know that God has been faithful. He has protected me on my journey. He's brought me back to my father's house. I'm living back in Bloomington. And all the good and all the bad that is here, you need to know that this place for me is an altar. When I see this building, I think of the faithfulness of God. And many of your faces this morning. And I am so thankful for the heritage that brought me to this place and through here. And I got to tell you, I'm praying really hard. I preach at a church here and north of here in Paragon. And I've been praying really hard about what God wants me to say this morning. Now, all the preachers you've been hearing lately, they've all done this. You've heard some great preaching because here's what they do. They go through all of their sermons and they go, okay, now how many people came forward during that one? How good was that one? And what did my wife say about that one? And they pick the best one and then they rework it, you know. I started doing that and I did that a little bit, but then I just got passionate about you guys, and I thought, how often do I get to preach when they can't fire me? Right? Here's the thing, I won't be here next week. So I'm going to say some things today to you as a preacher who can't be fired and as a Timothy of this place who loves you desperately. Here's the way it starts today. It starts with Jesus. And if you're kind of kicking the tires on Jesus, you're in one of many categories. Jesus was a man who changed history. 2,000 years ago, he started something that we're doing today. This is a church that is a part of a long history of people who have said, we're going to live life a certain way. We're not just going to do religion. We're going to live life a certain way. And we've been doing it well and messing it up for about 2,000 years. And you're a part of that today. And if you're trying to decide about Jesus, there are categories in the room today. Some of you have chosen to be a Christian many years ago, whatever that meant. Whether that was being baptized, whether that was somebody took your confession somewhere, whether that was receiving Jesus in your heart, or whatever you did at that point, you have been a Christian in some way in your life. But maybe today there's this thing in you that just goes, isn't there more? Isn't there something more? There's just this hole that needs to be filled. Well, Jesus came to earth, I believe, partially because of that hole. And he was a very strange man. In fact, that's where the series title comes from. It's called Weird. You guys can move to that next slide. I'm not going to be able to control it from up here, so I'll just tell you when I need to move. Jesus basically said, you know, he came to earth and he said, God isn't what you think he is. See, what they've done is they put God in a little box. They decided who God was. And the religious leaders at the time were really pretty. They dressed up. Most of them were dressed up a lot. They were nice looking. They had a really nice looking shell, you know. But a lot of them were very judgmental. A lot of them knew the rules really well, but didn't know the heart of God. And Jesus came to earth, and he just gathered these huge groups of people. They just kept following him. And at one point, he stood on a mountain. Maybe you've heard about this. At one point, he stood on this mountain. And when he stood there, there were the religious leaders standing there in their pretty things and probably standing in the front. And then there were a whole bunch of people that were poor, that were hurting, people that weren't religious. In fact, you just didn't see this. You would see people who were poor gathering together. You would see the rich religious people gathered together. But you didn't see a person who could draw both. And it was probably awkward. Now, Jesus, when he spoke, he didn't do what I'm doing today. He didn't put on a microphone and stand up like this. He would have found a place where his voice could carry, which might be good because the microphone's having a little problem today. Maybe I should have done that. But he would find either a lake or a hill, someplace where everybody could hear him. And this one story that just, I think about it all the time. He stood on this hill with all of these people. And the religious leaders couldn't wait for Jesus to preach to people, to tell the bad people how bad they were. Now, I know some of you today, some wives are sitting here today going, I can't wait for my son to hear this sermon. Some of you men are going, hitting your wife, going, did you hear what he said? It's the same thing with the Pharisees, the same thing the religious leaders were doing that day. They were going, hey, everybody listen to what Jesus is going to say. He is going to lay it down for those of you who are broken, those of you who are far from God, those of you who just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And here's what Jesus said. He said, blessed are you. And the religious people went, yes, sir. He said, blessed are you. And the words that they would have heard sounds more something like God is on your side. Less blessed like happy and more like God is on your side. You have found the favor of God. And the religious people go, yeah, we know that. We've been trying to tell these losers for a long time. Jesus says, blessed are you. God is on your side. And then he looks at the hurting people, those who are far from God. And he said, blessed are you who are poor spiritually. Blessed are you who are far from God. Now, you may have heard that in your life, but at this point in history, there was nobody who believed that they were on God's side or that God was on their side when they were far from him. Jesus looked into the hearts of those who were broken, those who were prostituting their life. They had no other way of making money and of fending for their families. Those who were just desperately far from him. And he said, guess what? I've come to bring good news. God is on your side. And it was really exciting for everybody except the religious people who thought God was only on the side of the people who behaved. See, they were under a misconception that many people up till that point in history were under, and many people to this day still are, that God is on the side of those who behave, that God is on the side of those who show up and park their car in the same place at the same church every Sunday. The truth is, Jesus changed everything when he looked not at the religious people, but those who were far from God and said, God is on your side. If you're in this place today, you may not need to hear anything else I hear today. If you came here today feeling like you don't belong, if you walked in here today feeling like you're broken, you're far from God and nobody knows it, you need to know. God is on your side. And if you came in here today pointing at those people, if you came in here today thinking you had it figured out because you've got a list of things you've been checking off, you need to know. You may be in trouble. Here's what he says. I told you, I can't be fired, right? Jesus says this. He says, if you want to do life differently, come follow me. If you just want to be religious, if you just want to do God the way God has always been done, where you just try to behave to earn his favor, then you need to go do something else, because what I'm doing is not that. People started following Jesus because they were desperate for healing. They were desperate for healing. I mean, people that had leprosy, people that were broken. Many of you, maybe you're coming today because somebody told you that the anxiety and depression you're feeling can be fixed by your Creator, and you're desperately here looking for him. You need to know you're in the right place. People came looking for acceptance. People came looking for something extraordinary. I'm there. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you're tired of getting up in the morning with the alarm clock going off at the same day, trying to remember what day it is because it looks just like yesterday. Maybe you get in your car and you go to work in the same place and you have to remind yourself what you have to do today because it looks just like yesterday. You say hi to the same people, you get your coffee in the same mug, you go do the same things and you go home at night and you wonder why you're just getting up to do it again and pay your bills. If you're like me, you just want something there. You want something different. There's got to be more. And there is a God-shaped hole in your life that from the very beginning of time was meant to be filled by one thing. And that is your Creator. And while these people followed Jesus, while they stood on the hill that day, they had the same hole you did. They have the same hole that you do today. When you come into this place, some of you, I know it. I can see it on your face, and I know it because I'm there too. We come into this place, and maybe you've heard a preacher at some point say the peace that passes all understanding, and it means nothing to you because you've never felt it. Maybe you've heard somebody at one point say that we have the hope, we have the joy, and you've never felt the hope and the joy more than on a Sunday morning for a little bit. Maybe you're here today, and you've been doing what we do as those who are Christians, but maybe not followers of the way. We put on a thick candy shell. We pull into the parking lot. We might fight with our family all the way to the parking lot. I've done that. You're late. Well, it's you. It's your fault. It's your fault. You pull in and you're all the way into the parking lot. Well, fix your tie and turn this and, oh, I told you, you need to tuck that in. And then as soon as you open the door, you go, hello. And all of a sudden it's Beaver Cleaver and his family. And this is what we do. You did it today. And don't tell me you didn't. There's brokenness in you. And when I said, hi, I'm John, how are you? You went, I'm good. You're really good at it, and so am I. And let me tell you, it sounds funny, and it is funny, but it's bigger than that. It's stronger than that, and it's more important than that. I believe it's more than that. It is a tool of the enemy. It is a tool of Satan. And if that sounds weird to you and you're not sure, you're kind of kicking the tires on the Jesus thing, what we believe is that there is another force at work in this world. And many of the people that have sit here in this pews today have been sitting here since I was too little to stand up here. Since I was in timeout in that windowsill, you've been sitting here. And since I was in timeout in that windowsill, you've been putting on the same candy shell, the same smile, the same brokenness in you that doesn't come out on the outside. And here's the thing, you've been saying other people need to be saved. You've been pointing at people who are far from God, who Jesus said, God is on their side. You've been saying they need to be saved, and the truth is they need to be saved. But maybe some of you do too. Even those of you who have been saved by the blood of Jesus and have heaven when this is over are living hell. I believe. Obviously, I believe Jesus wants to save those who are far from him and have never accepted him. But I believe too that Jesus wants to save Christians. He wants to save you today. If you've been living a life that is more about the outside than about who you are, If you've been living a life where you have never experienced the peace, the hope, the joy that comes not with coming to church on Sunday, but with living your life differently, then you need to know. Jesus wants to save you. The thing about Jesus is he wasn't normal. He just wasn't normal. In fact, you can look through the history books. Even if you don't believe he's the Son of God, this was a weird dude. Now, he wasn't weird in the way that a lot of Christians are weird. He wasn't weird because of the Jesus is the reason for the season signs or the myriad of stuff that you can buy at the Christian bookstore. He wasn't weird because of the t-shirts he wore or the Facebook posts he made. He wasn't weird because of the signs he held outside of the courthouse. He was weird because he led a different kind of life. When people came to him, when people surrounded him, it was attractive because there was a hope, a peace, and a joy, and a different way of thinking. You need to know it's what you're called to. Here's the thing. Normal wasn't working when Jesus came to earth. There were people all over that were doing life normal. They would do things like, they would do this thing they thought was a good thing. They would love their families. They would love their husbands and wives, their husbands or wives and their kids. But they would really hate everybody else. Anybody who didn't believe what they believed or think what they thought. And Jesus said, it's good to love your families. He said, it's okay. I mean, it's good. In fact, he says it's normal to love the people who loved you. So if you love the people who love you today, you need to know you're normal. If you don't, you got a whole, like, human problem, okay? But there were a whole bunch of people at the time that thought that they were Christians because they loved the people that loved them. And Jesus says, no. I want to invite you not to be just a Christian. I want to invite you to live differently. I want to invite you to love those who don't love you. Well, that's just dumb. And who does that? Follow me, Jesus said. Jesus said once, he said, you know, it was said that if you commit adultery, you've committed this major sin, and all the religious leaders go, yes, no adultery, because they've never done it. But then Jesus says, I'm telling you, if you even look at a woman wrong, and all the religious leaders go, sorry, what? If you even look at a woman wrong, they committed adultery with her, and you've ruined it. It got real quiet in here, man. I remember when I was a kid, all the way through college, the excuse was, well, I'm a man. Men look, right? If you look, no harm in looking, right? Jesus says, uh-uh. You wonder why you have a distant marriage? You wonder why things are broken at home? Jesus says, it's more than just what it looks like on the outside. It's what's inside. Jesus had this whole list of things, and here's what it boiled down to. Next slide, guys. He says, I want you to be a follower of the way. He gives them a chance to be a follower of the way. Now, the word Christian is a word that Jesus didn't use. He didn't say, hey, everybody who's a Christian, come this way. In fact, the word Christian was a very derogatory word when it first came out. People would say it, instead of saying, hey, look at the Christians, they would say it more like this. Look at those Christians. That's the way that word came about. In fact, I still hear it say that word way a lot. Jesus didn't say you should be a Christian. In fact, the phrase that Jesus used and the phrase that those who were in the first followers of Jesus would have used would say, come be a follower of the way. You hear the difference? See, if you're just part of a movement, if you're part of a church, if you just put a Jesus fish on the back of your car and call it a day, it's just religion. It's just one more thing, and you can just add it to a long list of things that don't work throughout history. Jesus says, I'm not calling you for that. What I want you to do is follow the way. He says, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It's an amazing thing. Jesus, over and over and over in his life, ran into people who were just normal followers. There were people who were trying to be close to God, but did not understand that it had to change the way they lived their life. That next slide. He says this. He over and over says that normal Christianity, just being a Christian without following the way, is just being religious. So if you're here today, and I know some of you are, this is why, remember, you can't fire me. If you're here today and what you're doing is about a parking space or a parking space, if it's about a place to call your church home, if it's about something you do during the week every week that's just like one more thing, I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to mow the yard, I'm going to go to church, you need to know that your view of God is broken. And Jesus says, that's actually the opposite of what I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to a way of living your life different. That next slide, Seth. Here's what happens. Normal Christianity, this normal Christianity that Jesus seemed to see and that, to be honest with you, we see all around us today, it leads to this religion that man has been dealing with since the beginning of time. It leads to this feeling that says, I have to be right. I have to behave right to please God. And it leads to this understanding that God is like a backpack. Many of you guys have this. This doesn't go very far for me in my life. Even when I preach on Sundays, it's with me everywhere I go. I've got my computer, kind of my whole life in it. The truth is, a lot of us treat God like a backpack. We go, all right, God, I'm going to pick you up in the morning. I'm going to take you with me today. And here's what I want you to do. When things get hard today, when money gets hard, when relationships get hard, when things get hard, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put God in the chair. And then when my problems come, I'm going to unzip it and I'm going to go, all right, God, go get them. Go get them, God. Fix my problems. Go get it, God. Take care of it. Go get it, God. All the money problems I've got, you just go take care of them. Go get it, God. You take care of my marriage because I messed it way up and now it's your turn. And then when he's done his job with your life, you jam him back in here, you zip him back up and you put him back on. And then you wait for the next time. Until somebody goes, hey, we're going to Vegas this weekend. You want to go with us? And you go, yeah, hang on. I need to drop something. And you go, all right, just you stay there. God, you stay right there. Backpack is off and you go, God, you stay there. I'm going to do whatever I want to do until things get really bad. Until things get really, really hard. And then I'll pick it up again. I'll unzip it and I'll say again, go get them, God. But for now, stay. I want you to know today, backpack God does not exist. And I know that would be a big surprise to you, but some of you are worshiping that one. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the hope, the joy, and the peace that Jesus talks about, if you're not experiencing the kinds of things that God talks about when he says that we do life together, and the peace that passes all understanding, it could be because you're worshiping the wrong God. See, the thing is, God will not be molded to you. I want you to be a follower of the way. Next slide, Seth. The problem with normal Christianity is it leads to this hard candy shell. I brought some with me this morning, some Jolly Ranchers. These are some of my favorite things. If you eat four of these in a row, you get a headache. At least I do. So much sugar in them. My son and I love to watch How It's Made. It's a show on Discovery Channel. And they show you how to make these. They roll out this big sheet of real pliable sugar, basically, colored sugar. And it's real pliable and it's real soft and it just looks so good. And then it does something. It sits for a while. And when it sits and doesn't do anything, it just kind of sits and it gets really, really hard and firm. I brought it today because it's the same thing that happens to you and me. Now, I've been praying today that God would soften your heart. That's the prayer I pray as a preacher. Because I can say everything I want to say. I can say anything I want to today. And if you have a hard heart, you won't hear any of it. It'll just hit the floor. But if your heart is soft this morning, whether that's a song that Troy sings, whether that's an illustration that I give you, whatever it is, it might sink in. But here's what happens to us. It starts soft, and then by the time we hit the parking lot, by the time we get into our freshly washed cars so that everybody thinks that's what your car looks like on a regular basis when you come to church on Sunday, by the time we get into our cars, we've already gotten a hard candy shell. It's already started to firm up. And I want you to know today that it's disgusting to God. It's disgusting to God. He calls it hypocrisy. Jesus called it hypocrisy. It made him so mad. Hypocrisy at that time wasn't what you think of it now. It was an actor. It was an actor who would wear a mask and do a show and then they would call a hypocrite, you know? And Jesus said, that's all you are. That's all you are. You're coming in here, you're so inauthentic, you have nothing in your life that matches who you say you are. You're a hard candy shell. You're an actor. Now, I don't know about you, but I have this tug in my life for things that will fill that hole in my life. If you're sitting here today and you know exactly what I'm talking about, if you've ever experienced that feeling where you wake up and it's 9 o'clock, it's 7 o'clock or it's 5 o'clock in the morning, you got to do it again. and you go to bed at night and you just kind of do the same thing over and over again, or if you've had such a brokenness in your life that you feel like there can't be a God, and there's this hole in your life that you've got to fix, what happens to me is when I'm soft, I remember what fills that hole. When my life is soft, when I come to church, and that's part of the thing I love about worshiping this morning. I fell apart during worship service, because or during rehearsal this morning, because our worship service, I don't get to worship. I'm praying with people and that kind of thing. So it was the first time I worshiped for a while, and Troy starts rehearsing, and I just fall apart emotionally. I thought, how am I going to preach this morning? It's going to be awful. But it softened me this morning, and that's when I remember what fills my heart with what it needs to be filled with. But then, by the time I get home today and have my Kentucky Fried Chicken, if I'm lucky, I will stop at Sam's Wholesale Club, and man, they have my number. As soon as I walk in there, right there, sitting right in the middle of the aisle, as soon as I show the lady with my card, I turn around, and it's every big screen TV under the sun. And I start to believe that the 71-inch TV is what I really need in my life. That if I really wanted to be happy, if I really want to fill the hole in my life, it will be that 71-inch TV. If I really, maybe it's not the TV for you. Maybe you think that's absolutely ridiculous, but you've done that with your car. Or you've done that with your job, or your 401k, or your husband. You said, what I really need is him, and if I had him, everything would be okay. And about 3 weeks later, if you made it that long, the toilet seat didn't stay down. And you went, I guess this is not it either. And so you've lived your life with a hard candy shell, pretending you're something you're not. And you've led yourself to normal Christianity. Actually, you know, normal Christianity is dangerous. It's more dangerous than not Christianity at all. Jesus says this, New Testament is laden with opportunities for New Testament writers to say to you, if you hear the good, if you hear the word from God today and it doesn't change your life, you're better off not ever hearing it in the first place. Someone will give you a chance to walk out right now. Okay? Good. Nobody did. But if you're hearing this word today and it doesn't change you in some way, it's dangerous for your life and for your heart. So those of you that have been here who look pretty much the same except for your hair might be a little different shade of color and you might have a little less of it. Those of you who I haven't seen in 25 years, you may have come to the realization or the thought in your life that you're done. That it's time to just mail it in. Retire spiritually. You need to know that that's how a thick candy shell ruins not only your life, but the message of Jesus Christ in this community. I'll tell you what, Ellettsville Christian Church, you want to grow? You want these seats filled and these seats filled and these seats filled? You want to be a place of energy and liveliness? You be authentic. You be real. You get rid of the hard candy shell, because here's what the world does. You go to the cubicle at work. You go to the neighbor next door. They look at you and think, why would I go to church? They live the same way I do. They have the same problems. They want the same things. Their life is the same way mine is. If you live a life with a hard candy shell, you're giving the name Jesus a bad name. No quicker way to shut a church down, in my experience. It won't happen here. But no quicker way to shut a church down than for a church of people to come to church and believe that this is it. That this is what God intends for their life. That this is what people need is church. The truth is, this is the beginning. This is the catalyst. And give you a chance this morning to let God start softening your heart already. Normal Christianity leads to this hard candy shell. Normal Christianity, that next slide, Seth, is about doing life from your own perspective instead of doing life from God's perspective. It's the one thing I prayed for you this morning. I don't know most of you, although I know more of you than I thought. On the way here this morning, I pray that you would leave with a different perspective. Because when you do life from your perspective, everything is altered. One of my favorite books starts with the words, "It's not about you." It's true. And until you get that today, you will miss the point. And you'll just do normal Christianity instead of the way, life the way God intended. Doing church in rows on Sundays is normal Christianity. Doing church like this is something that the New Testament church, you know, they would laugh at us this morning. They'd go, what are you guys doing on Sunday mornings? They saw some of this kind of thing in the tabernacle, but not like we do. I mean, what we do is we come in and this is our, some of us, this is what we do. This is our faith. We come in and we sit and listen to songs and we sing and maybe clap a little bit. If we're real charismatic, we do this a little bit. And then the sermon time comes and we sit and we try to stay awake. And we might even take notes if we're real spiritual. And then we get up and we think that's the day. You know, the first church would have said, that's just not even the beginning of church. Church is never meant to be done in rows. Church was always meant to be done in circles, doing life together on a regular basis. If you aren't engaged in life together with the people around you, those who are like-minded and seeking the same things you are, you're missing out on the very opportunity that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins for. That peace, the hope, the joy, part of that is doing church in circles instead of rows. But if you're just engaged in normal Christianity, you'll just show up, sit in your row, park in your space, and go home. Don't expect your life to be different than your neighbor, whether they believe in Jesus or not. Putting yourself first and giving what's left to others is normal Christianity. I remember when I was a kid, my mom was the children's minister here, and VBS was just a huge blowout. Like, I see you got one coming up soon. And there were people who would do what normal people do. They want to give to VBS. They want to give to the church. They want to serve. So they would come after they got off of work, or they would, you know, come if they had a day off. And then there was another group of people who decided they're going to save their vacation week for VBS week. They're not going to give what's left over. They're going to give their very best, the best week of the year for them. They're going to give to VBS. It's that kind of mentality. If you're sitting today dreading tomorrow morning as another Monday, you need to know that God intends for more. That He intends for you to give your first and your best to Him. Normal Christianity is the hard candy shell. And the way is about authenticity. It just truthfully is. So I'm going to give you a chance this morning. Now, I get to do this every week when I preach. It scares me, truthfully, to stand up here and preach and to tell a funny joke. I used to tell every sermon I had the same recipe. I'd start with a joke to get you laughing, and then I would. But the truth is, it's become really important to me now that anything I say, you can apply to your life right now. Because according to the Bible, if you hear something today and you leave here without it changing your life, you're better off never hearing it in the first place. So here's what I do at the end of all my sermons now. Here it is. There's a slide. At the end of all my sermons called Today. That's the next slide there, Seth. One more back. Go back one more. There you go. Today I'm going to ask you, are you playing normal Christianity? I use that word play very carefully. Jesus said it's like a mask. It's like, are you just playing instead of living the way? Instead of choosing a different way of living your life? Have you found yourself worshiping a backpack God? Maybe that resonated with you today. And maybe you need to get rid of your thick candy shell. That next slide, I'm going to give you some real practical things. And I know you guys are a lot classier here than I am at church. Normally you do a prayer and the band comes up while they pray. I just say, you guys can come on up now. So band, if you're here, you can come on up for the end of our service here. But I want to give you a chance today to choose weird. Now, don't all rush to the Bible bookstore and buy Jesus fish and Jesus is the reason for the season tags, because that's not what I mean by weird. I mean to find opportunities to change the way you live your life. When I pulled into this parking lot today, I had this little picture of the first time I ever drove my own car. 1984 Jeep Cherokee. Big stick shift, dropped the clutch most of the time, ruined it. I pulled into this parking lot my very first time, and I remember that moment feeling like someday I'll be back in this church. Someday I will be back. I always thought I'd be serving here. I always thought I'd be worshiping here. Someday I'll be back in this church. And as I pulled in this morning, I drove a different car, still kind of junky, and I looked over and I saw an entirely new neighborhood that wasn't here when I came. And I thought, look what God has put in the backyard of my altar. Do you know? Do you know what's across the street? People who don't want normal Christianity. People who are desperate to fill the hole in their life with something other than big screen TVs and trucks. And if you're doing it, you have nothing to give them. Nothing. In fact, they're worse off coming to see Christianity instead of followers of the way. Don't let it happen to you. Don't leave this space today without a commitment. Don't leave this space today without a commitment to get rid of the hard candy shell, to develop an authenticity in your life that leads people to want to live different. I'm going to give you a chance to pray for perspective this morning. If you've never prayed, or if you're just good at praying the church prayer, dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sins and thank you for this food. Amen. If you're used to those prayers, don't even pray that one. In fact, you heard us sing the word hallelujah earlier in our service. That word hallelujah was just a word that the Israelites made up to say, God, everything I'm feeling in my heart right now. Maybe that's the word you need to say to him when we sing this song. Just hallelujah, God. Would you just make me clean? Would you make me right? Would you lead me to the right place? And then I'm going to ask you to do this. The easy thing for you to do is to make a commitment. This is what we do as Christians, right? We make a commitment right where we sit. And then by the time we hit the door, it's all gone. So I'm going to ask you to tell somebody today. Find somebody to tell. Find an elder. Find me. You won't even see me next week. You can tell me anything you want. Find somebody to tell today that you don't want to live the life without living the way. Find someone to tell and engage in the life that you were meant to live. This is my favorite part of being a preacher. I know the hole in your heart. I have it too. I know those of you who are Christians who have been Christians for a long time and you've just come accustomed to the fact that your life really isn't that much different than those who aren't Jesus followers. You need to know today, it doesn't have to be. So I'm going to give you a chance today. I brought some Jolly Ranchers with me. It'd be easy for you to just walk out and say, well, I'm going to do that, what the preacher said. But I want to give you a chance to stand up. Many of you have never done this in your life. Maybe a chance to stand up today. We had a whole group of people. Almost everybody in our first service did it. Stand up and come up here and grab a Jolly Rancher. It's a weird invitation. I'm going to ask you to grab a Jolly Rancher. Make a commitment to God. Hard candy shell is going away from my life. Show me what that means, God. I'll be up here to pray with you. The elders are going to come forward. If you've never accepted Jesus, if this is the first time you've ever heard what Jesus really was about and you want to accept him today, there's a baptism over there somewhere. I'm just glad I didn't step in it while I was preaching. If you've come and you want to be a part of this church, now's the time. But come forward during this song. As I was thinking, I have a lot of memories of this church. Not all of them good. Standing about right here. Maybe a little further back. When Scotty Richmond performed my first wedding. And when I stood on this stage, a chill went through me. For the pain of my divorce. Frustration that came from all that. I was sitting right about in that row right there. When the elders one day read the letter that they were firing my favorite youth minister ever. I'll never forget the pain. The truth is, in those moments, I am so thankful that God will not be reduced to the size of a backpack. In those moments and days, the only thing that brought me through is not religion. It's not church attendance. It's not a good parking place in the parking lot. The only thing that brings me through with peace and hope and joy is the fact God will not be reduced to that. I am so thankful that the God of the universe chooses to be unwavering. He is, and he's choosing it today. So you stop making him who you want him to be, and you come to the one who from the very beginning of time put a place in your heart that only he could fill. We'll give you a chance to do it this morning. I know this sermon is long. You guys aren't used to that. I'm going to give you a chance to, while this song is going, to stand up and to walk forward, to grab this. I would love to pray with you. Give you a chance today to say, God, the hard candy shell is going. I want to be a follower of the way. I love you guys. I'm so honored to stand up here today. And I'm so honored to be a part of a church that wants to show the world the way.